Lightspeed.
Hello, and welcome to a Lightspeed Short Shot. My name is Allison Bell-Buse, pleased to be your muse for this flash fiction podcast. Today, for your listening pleasure, Lightspeed presents Only Some of True Love's Miracles by P.H. Lee, narrated by Stefan Rudnicki. Right after this message. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
And now, Stefan Rudnicki.
Only Some of True Love's Miracles by P.H. Lee. True love's kiss works miracles. Everyone knows the story. The sculptor who carved a perfect woman, his own creation, and when he fell in love with her, and how could he have failed to fall in love with her, his own creation, and kissed her, for how could he fail to kiss her, loving her as truly as he did? Then the gods, in their mercies and compassions, granted her life, that she might return his love. That is the story, and I do not doubt that it happened in just that way, for how else could our world have come to be? Because, of course, he was not the last sculptor to kiss his love to life. How could it have been only him? A miracle, done once, must be done 1,000 times again, or else it is no miracle at all, but merely a coincidence. At first, of course, it was only sculptors, and their loves were shaped by their desires. Beautiful women, handsome boys, nymphs and satyrs, and all the rest combined. But then, once, there was a woman, and I think it must have been a woman, who loved not men, not women, not girls or boys or fawns, but efficiency and craft and her own devisings. A woman who did not carve from marble, but assembled with wood and gut and bone, a loom. She loved the loom she built, more than she had ever loved anyone or anything. So, when she kissed it, and loving it as she did, how could she not kiss it? The gods, in their mercies and compassions, had no choice but to grant that loom a life, that it might return her love. There are no stories of her. I cannot tell you her name. But it must have happened in just that way. How else could it have happened? A loom is not like a woman or a man. It is not even like a nymph or a satyr. A loom is a machine. And yet her loom still lived. And yet her loom still loved her. so it showed its love for her in the only way it could. It wove. It did not stop for rest, and it did not stop for sleep. It wove as much thread as she could feed it, weaving with its love cloth so beautiful and so light that even the gods themselves wept at its softness. From the cloth that her beloved wove for her, the woman grew famous, and her family prospered. Other families now turned to their own daughters. Their simple weaving was no longer sufficient. "Yes," they would say, "your weaving is warm and soft. It is perfectly adequate. But do you love it? Do you love it more than you have ever loved anyone or anything?" Of course, most of them did not. But some of them did love their looms or their spindles or their scissors and threads. Or, at the very least, they find their way to loving them. For what daughter has not, from time to time, had to find her way to love? Soon there was a living loom in every household. For those houses that lacked had suffered and dwindled away to nothing. Soon, too, there was a blacksmith who loved his hammer, a smelter who loved his blast furnace, a potter who loved her wheel. What else could the gods do? A miracle granted once is only a coincidence. No god could be satisfactory now who would not grant this simple thing. That might have been enough. A world of beloved engines, beloved assembly lines, beloved distribution chains. It surely would have been enough. Not only one miracle, not only 1,000 miracles, but a whole world of miracles. A whole world of love. Still, that was not the end of it. Because once there was a soldier who fell in love with his spear. Or perhaps it was an engineer. I think it must have been an engineer, for it must have been the sort of man who might fall in love with his own devisings. And who could that be, if not an engineer, who fell in love with his own trebuchet, that he had planned and held and built with his own hands? I cannot tell you his name. There are no stories about him either. But I know it must have happened that way. I can picture it, even now, just as it must have happened. Of course it was a miracle. Of course it came to life. Of course it was not the only one, for what good is a miracle done only once? I cannot tell you their names. I cannot speak for you their faces. But the soldiers and engineers and commanders of each nation must have learned to love new weapons, to hold them and cherish them and kiss them into life. Any soldier that failed to learn it would have died. And any army, any nation that did not love their weapons was soon reduced to nothing more than dust and history. So it is with me. So it is with the woman that I love. I do not know the reason for her love. I do not understand its workings, but I know she loves me more truly than anyone has ever loved another. She loves me, and so I know that true love is a miracle. I am no perfect creation, no beautiful woman, no tender fawn, not even a loom, clean and crisp and interlocking. To look at me, you would barely know I was alive. My eyes are gun sights. My hands are cannons. I am covered in every place with rough-hewn armor and vicious spikes. And yet, she loves me. And so I know that I must be perfect. Were I a mortal lover, I would wonder at the intensity of my love for her. I would doubt the truth of it. I would despair that there was no act, no gift, no sacrifice that could show the truth and fullness of my love. But I need trouble with no such doubts. For the love of her, I go to war. For the love of her, I am blasted, torn apart, dismembered, and disfigured by all my foes, each of them alive the same as me, each of them in love as I am, though surely not as truly, surely not as deeply. What better fate than to die for the woman that I love? True love's tears work miracles. Everyone knows the story. The knight who died in battle with the dragon, the chaste maiden who cried for 3 days over his corpse until the gods in their mercies and compassions restored him back to life that he might return her love. That is the story, and I do not doubt it to be true. For every night when the fighting and the killing is done, my love finds me on the battlefield, broken and disfigured and dead. She searches across the battlefield, gathering up all my scattered pieces. Weeping, she holds me in her arms. She kisses every join and every joint. She holds me, crying for the loss of me, until at last the gods, in mercy and compassion, return me once more to life and to her service. For love, I awake from death. And I know it is a miracle, for it has happened many times.
You have just heard Only Some of True Love's Miracles by P.H. Lee, narrated by Stefan Rudnicki and directed by me.
Every 5 minutes, a transplant candidate dies while waiting for a compatible heart, liver, or kidney. Imagine a technology that could provide those life-saving transplant organs for a high price, and imagine what a company would do to monopolize that technology. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists unlocks this holy grail of medicine by reverse engineering the genomes of all mammals, creating an animal with organs perfectly suitable for human transplantation. They envisioned a docile herd animal, but one team member had another, darker vision. This ancestor is anything but docile. The team's work spawns something big, something evil, something very, very hungry. Ancestor is a complete serialized fiction podcast by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler, with all episodes available. Binge the entire story now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
P.H. Lee lives on top of an old walnut tree, past a thicket of roses, down a dead-end street at the edge of town. Their work has appeared in many venues, including Clark's World, Lightspeed, and Uncanny Magazine. From time to time, they microwave and eat a frozen burrito at 2 in the morning for no other reason than that they want to. This story was taken from the pages of Lightspeed Magazine, which is edited by John Joseph Adams. The podcast is produced by Skyboat Media, and the story and podcast are copyright 2024. And our music was composed and performed by Jack Kincaid. Once again, I am Allison Bell Buse, and I hope this story shared with you a love so true. Thank you for listening.